You can see the title of this week's message is "I'm Scum, Imitate Me." That's what Paul's saying to the church of Corinth. He's encouraging them to find their value in who Jesus sees them as being, in rather than in how each other sees them. So it wasn't related to this at all. But I was having a conversation with Nathaniel, my 8-year-old. This last week, and that's when you really hear the truth, right? When you talk to kids, oh, you hear it from your pastor as well. I got to assure you of that. But also, you know, the kids, they tell you things as they see them, and it's quite honest. So Nathaniel said they wanted to go somewhere. They wanted to do something. They wanted to go to Scandia. No, Nathaniel, we can't go to Scandia. It's too expensive. Well, can we go to Energyplex? No, Nathaniel can't go to Energyplex. It's too expensive. Dad, why is everything so expensive? I said, well, it's just because everybody's got to make a little bit of money out of, you know, everyone's got to live. Okay, so, but what if we got rid of money? Oh, this is interesting. Okay, we'd have to trade stuff. I was telling them we'd have to trade stuff. He said, well, why don't we just do that? I said, because then you get people like pastors who don't have anything to trade. And he said, Dad, you could trade knowledge. Huh? Right? His allowance went up that day. Let me just tell you that much. See, the reality is that we do need money because everything has a price. Everything has a value. Bear that in mind as we turn together to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul writes, this is how one should regard us. And when he says us, he's talking about the apostles. As servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I am not aware of anything against myself. But I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purpose of the heart, then each one will receive his commendation from God. I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Already you have all you want. Already you've become rich. Without us, you have become kings. And would that you did reign, so that we might share the rule with you. For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. We're fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present hour, we hunger and thirst. We're poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ through Jesus, through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church. Some are arrogant, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills. And I will find out, not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod, or with love in a spirit of gentleness? Let's pray. Lord, may we hear your words through the scripture. This morning, may we have open hearts and open ears to hear your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Paul's saying, this is how you should regard the apostles. This is how you should regard the leaders, the planters, the disciples of your church, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God is the gospel. Paul's already cleared that one up. And then he follows it and he says, you can judge me in this. It's basically saying, if I don't achieve this, then I'm not achieving what God has called me to do. These are the things that you're looking for in me. You're looking to see a servant heart. You're looking to see a steward of the gospel. Then in verse 6, Paul says to them, learn by us not to go beyond what is written. And I'm not too sure what Paul's getting at exactly there. He used to be a Pharisee, right? So he used to add stuff to the law. So maybe he's saying, don't go beyond what the law already says. Or maybe he's saying, when you read Scripture, take it at its value. Don't go beyond that. Don't start adding stuff to it. Don't start adding laws to the gospel message. And let's be clear, Paul talks about New Testament Scripture as being Scripture. He talks about it to Timothy, and he alludes to it in this passage as well. So when Paul's talking about Scripture, he's including the gospel of his good friend Luke. A lot of the time, Luke was traveling with Paul, so Paul had a great awareness of the gospel that Luke had written. And this is the problem with the church, that Paul has to ask them, who sees anything different in you? What is better about you, the church of Jesus Christ, than it is against the philosophers, the wisdom, the people who you look up to, the people who you want to emulate? What's different about you than them? Because the gospel really should have made a big difference to you. But I don't think it has done. He says, what do you have that you did not receive? And he has to be talking about the gospel here, because he says, if you then received it, why do you boast? It's as if you never received it. It's as if you never knew what Jesus had done for you. It's as if the fact that Jesus came and died on the cross for your sake makes no difference to you whatsoever. That should be the thing that shines out for you. That should be the biggest difference between you and everybody around you. But I don't think anybody sees that. Then Paul launches into a tirade of sarcasm. I really appreciate this because it justifies my sarcasm from time to time. I mean, if Paul was a sarcastic person and Paul says, imitate me, be aware that when I'm being sarcastic, I'm imitating Paul, okay? I am following through with Scripture. Right? Did I hear any amens then? Paul goes, you have all you want. You are rich. You are kings. Because that's the way that they see themselves. They see themselves. These guys, a lot of the guys that Paul's writing to here in the church, are freed slaves. And they've gone to Corinth to make something of themselves. They've got riches now. You know, they've got more than they ever imagined they could ever have. And they see themselves as achieving something because now they've got riches. Now they can compare themselves to kings. But then he says about himself, We apostles, however, are last of all, like men sentenced to death, a spectacle to the world. You guys are kings, and we are the scum underneath your sandals. We're the dirt from the bottom of your feet. We are fools, but you, oh no, you're wise. We are weak, but you are strong. But then there's a little bit seriousness in what Paul says. He says, you are held in honor, but we in disrepute. We are hungry and thirsty, poorly dressed, homeless. So, although he's being quite sarcastic about their stature, the way that they see themselves, there's a certain amount of honesty in the humbleness, the humility of where the apostles see themselves. They are homeless. They are hungry. They are wearing the same clothes. They're not about the riches. They're all about the gospel and serving Jesus. And Paul, this is the bit I was alluding to earlier, Paul gives allusions of what Jesus said that Luke records for the Sermon on the Plain, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. And he says, when reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. So Paul is giving this picture of what Jesus says in that sermon, that the things that the world thinks are really good, actually to God, aren't really very impressive at all. And the things that God thinks are really good are the things that the world... I don't know if I said the same thing twice, but you know what I'm getting at there. It's that great reversal. The idea that something that we hold dear is not important to God. He says, we have become like scum of the world, the refuse of all things. Paul's saying, you've got it upside down. You're boasting in what you've become. Yet the apostles are the scum, the rubbish, the sweepings off the floor, the scrapings, all the things that you would throw out. Yet these are the people that really understand what the gospel is about. Now, Paul's talking in hyperbole. He's exaggerating. But when he says this, he's basically saying, if something is of no value to the world, it is of eternal value in salvation. It is the great leveler. It's the things that you think make you great are actually the things that should humble you. Paul's saying, don't look for value in the world. Don't look for your value on earth. Look for your value in heaven. If we look at verse 7 again, he says, what do you have that you did not receive? He's basically saying, what do you have other than the gospel that's of any value? If it's of no value to the world, it's of infinite value to God. That is the gospel. God doesn't care about the riches of man. He only cares of the riches of his message through Jesus. And Paul says to them, I became your father in Jesus Christ through the gospel. I urge you then to be imitators of me. But Paul's saying, if I'm your father, which he said that, right? That was the last chapter. He said, I planted this church, therefore, you know, the metaphor can be really stretched here. He said, I planted the seed, and now he's saying, therefore, I am your father. It's almost like he's saying, I am your literal spiritual father. I planted that seed, and that seed has grown to be you. You should look more like me. But you don't. So try a little bit harder to look like me. Try and imitate me. And then you really see the fatherhood come out here. It says, verse 21, shall I come to you with a rod or with love in a spirit of gentleness? Are you going to tidy your room or do you need a spank on your bum? All right, I'll tidy my room. Right? It's kind of like, are you going to try and look like me? Are you going to make an effort or do I need to come at you and actually give you a good beating? And I think it's probably more a tongue lashing than anything else that Paul's talking about there. But you see that, the fatherhood spirit of that he wants to see his children grow up to be like him, to have the same heart for the gospel that he has. Paul planted the seed that was the Corinthian church, and he became like their father. But they don't look like his children. They look like illegitimate children. And I've made this comment before, but yesterday, Kim Gunner said to me that the Bailey genes must be really strong because all four of my boys look like me. And I make the joke over and over again that, yeah, we're not actually sure that Christiane's their mother. But, you know, it's that kind of, they look like me because they are mine. Paul's saying, church, look like me because you are mine. I planted you. I am your apostle. I am your teacher. I'm your discipler. I'm overseeing you. Look more like me as I strive for the gospel. And he says this. He says, this is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. Now, the mind of people in this time, that if you were going to be a wise teacher, you would take the teachings of somebody that you really admired and you would imitate them. So you didn't need to come up with anything original of your own. You would go alongside somebody that you thought was really wise, and you would, I don't know, you'd memorize their teachings, and then you would give them as if they were your own, and people would go, wow, he's a very wise person. Or they would look at you and go, wow, he must be a student of whoever. Paul's saying, however you become more like Jesus, just do it. So he's saying, imitate me, but if you don't remember what I'm like, I've sent you Timothy. So imitate Timothy, who's imitating me, as we imitate Jesus. And that's what he says in chapter 11. He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Paul is only bothered about people looking like Jesus. Nothing else matters. He's basically saying, you are nothing without the gospel. You are nothing without Jesus. Jesus is all you have that's of any value, so get more of him. So Paul wrote this letter from Ephesus, He went to Corinth on his second missionary journey. He's gone back to Jerusalem. He's set out on his third missionary journey, and he's going to go to Corinth again. But at this point of writing this letter, he's in Ephesus. And Acts records as Paul is leaving the church in Ephesus, this is what he says. This is in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. "But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." So Paul's saying, I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself. I don't care what people think about me. I don't care what you guys think about me. All I care about is being faithful to teach you guys the gospel. If that makes you think I'm foolish, I don't care. If I come across as an idiot as I'm doing it, I don't care. I'm going to be faithful, and that's the only thing that I can do. Paul places his entire value in how God sees him, and no value whatsoever in how others see him. Because Paul is an apostle. He's an ambassador for the gospel. He says in Philippians, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So Paul's in prison when he writes that. It's like, I don't care what happens to me. Because if I carry on living, then I'm going to still preach the gospel. And if I die, that's fantastic for me because I get to be with Jesus. Either way, living or dying, it's all about Jesus. Paul's value is completely and utterly in how God sees him, in serving Jesus through his gospel. And he says to the Corinthian church, imitate me. Because the gospel is central to everything. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. That's the importance of the gospel. It is there to teach us in all situations. Now, I think if Dr. Paul was going to prescribe medicine, he would say, okay, what's the ailment that you're suffering with? Oh, you're suffering with richness. Oh, okay. I'm going to give you a good dose of the gospel. That's going to give you some humility. Or maybe you're feeling a little bit sick. You're really not feeling too well. You need a good, healthy dose of the gospel. Or maybe you're not feeling too happy. You're feeling down. Things aren't going well for you. You know what you need? You need a good dose of the gospel. Right? It's pretty simple what Paul would prescribe as medicine to any kind of ailment. It would be the gospel. Tim Keller said on Facebook this week, every person, religious or not, is worshipping something to get their worth. Every person, religious or not, is worshipping something to get their worth. I am guilty of this. I get my value in how people see me rather than who I am in Christ. But here's the truth. I will never be good enough for you guys. I will never be good enough for everybody here in this church. I will never be a good enough dad. I will never be a good enough husband. So if I look for my value in there, I will never achieve a decent level of... I will never be happy because I'll never be good enough. But the thing is, I'm also not good enough for God. I can't stand before God and say, I've achieved it, I've made it. I am who you want me to be because I'm not good enough to say that to God. Jesus has made me good enough, though. The gospel is the answer to everything. And if it's not, you're asking the wrong question. No matter your idol, the gospel is better. The effects of the gospel, the effects of what Jesus has done for us, lasts forever. Paul says about himself, I'm scum. My life is completely worthless. That's when God is strong. When we realize that we're actually worth nothing, that's when God comes through for us. That's when he shows his power through our weakness. Now, it might be too simple. It might seem too simple to say that the gospel is central to everything. But if we say that, if we say that's too simple, we don't understand really what the gospel is all about. We don't understand what happened on that cross through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Let me tell you this, because the gospel is liberating. Everything within us wants to be the best at something. Okay, think about it. Throughout this last week, there'll have been something that you thought, I could do that better. You watch somebody else do it and you think, I could do a better job of that. Or you look at something that you've done and you go, wow, if I was going to do that again, I would do it better. There's things that you think about your own personality that you think, oh, I wish I could do that better. I wish I could be more like such and such. But you know what? The gospel of Jesus Christ says, you'll never be good enough. Not at anything that you do. Nothing that you could possibly do will ever make you good enough. You are the scum of the earth. You are the lowest of the low. And there's nothing that you can do to achieve a greater stature than that. But Jesus has done it all for you. Okay, so yeah, you can impress somebody with a painting that you've done or with a cake that you've made. Try and impress me with a pie and I will be impressed. But it has no lasting value, especially a pie. It has about an hour's lasting value. What we can achieve through Jesus has an eternal lasting value, but that is nothing of you and all of him. That should be liberating for us. I cannot do anything that has any lasting value, but Jesus can, and he has done, and he's willing to share that with me. That is the gospel message. No matter how hard we try anything, we'll never be good enough at what really matters. The standard of holiness that Jesus set is unattainable. In comparison to Jesus' holiness, we are scum, and there is nothing that we can do about it. Is that liberating? I think it is. It's not down to me. I can't do anything about it. It's all been done for me. So what do we do about it? Well, we stop trying to be good enough. We stop trying to be good enough in our own strength and accept that we're not. That we're never going to be able to stand before God in our own strength and say, I achieved this. Because we didn't. There is nothing that we can achieve that can impress God. But the good news is that you and Jesus together can impress God. You can stand before God and he can say, you are holy before me. Not through what you've done, but through what Jesus has done for you. Paul has exactly the right reaction to the gospel. Because he said, as soon as you believe this, as soon as you accept this, the Spirit enters into your life, identifies with your spirit, and makes you to be the person who God wants you to be. Again, that's not you. You aren't becoming the person that God wants you to be through your own strength. Only God can transform you to be the person that he wants you to be. It is none of you. It is all of him. There is tremendous freedom in the gospel. Sean and I were talking about this the other day and how trite it could be to say to somebody who feels like their world is falling apart, hey, don't worry. Because the gospel's good. Everything's going to be okay. Because it doesn't feel like it at the time. And Sean gave this illustration to me. He said, the gospel is like the anchor of a boat in the middle of a storm. Okay, so you're up on the deck, and you're getting tossed to and fro, and everything is falling apart around you. It seems like the world is in complete turmoil. You can't see what the anchor's doing down there. In fact, you want to cut free from that anchor and let yourself go with the way that the waves will take you. But that anchor is holding you in place. It's giving you that security that you need. If you cut that anchor loose, you could end up absolutely anywhere. The one thing you can guarantee is that you'd be lost. But even when everything seems in complete turmoil, the one thing that is always true, that is always there, is Jesus, is the gospel, is the fact that he died and rose again, so that we don't have to live under the lies of the world that we live in. The lies that say we can be better, we can try harder, we can impress people, we can impress God, because none of that is true. I was trying to think of a few examples of this, and I keep coming back to this. The gospel is a great leveler. Nobody can impress anybody else through the works of Jesus. Maybe you're feeling a little bit inferior to somebody. You look at somebody and you think, wow, I wish I was more like them. But the thing is that that person is not good enough for God. Maybe you're feeling a little superior to somebody else. And you look down on them and you go, well, you know, you're like the Pharisees. I thank you, God, that I am not like that tax collector. And God says, well, you know what? It's interesting you say that because actually, you know, you're not good enough for me. And neither is he. In fact, you know, you're on a level playing field when it comes to salvation because none of you are good enough. I find this liberating. And I find that as the more I think about this, the more the truth comes out that it isn't about me. It's only about what God does through me, through his Spirit making me the person that he wants me to be. The truth is this, that we forget it all the time. We forget it over and over again. We always come back to the fact that it's all about me. And we need to remind each other, it isn't about you. It's about what God does through you. We end up trying to be better, trying harder, you know, be gooder. You know, and that's the thing, like we think that there is some level of goodness that we can achieve on our own that will lead to some kind of extra special salvation. That there is something that we can do. There is something, if we can stop doing this, I will be a holier person. Or if I can start doing that, I will be a holier person. But it isn't us that make ourselves holy. It is the Spirit. It's the sanctification of the Holy Spirit working through us, working through our lives, building us to be more like Jesus. If you look at something that you think, this is my dream, I want to achieve this, who's it for? It's for you. But when God puts that special something on your heart and you go, well, this doesn't really sound like me. That doesn't really sound like the kind of thing I'd want to do. Sometimes that's just that little voice of the Spirit saying, I am changing you. I am making you more like Jesus. I'm not doing it the way that you'd expect it to happen. I'm doing it the way that I know it needs to happen. Paul tells us about Jesus being our perfect example in this. Philippians 2, verse 5 and onwards. This is what Paul writes. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Didn't just make himself, you know, kind of like a demigod or something. He made himself nothing. He made himself the scum of the earth, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of the most disgusting, distasteful death possible, being hung on a tree, where the law says, cursed is any man who's hung on a tree. Yet that is what King Jesus chose to do. He chose, instead of being the king who could have decided anything and made anything happen and basically wiped the slate clean of all kind of sin, he chose to show his love by being no longer the king, but the scum of the earth, like every single one of us. If Jesus did that. Jesus took himself from kingly to the lowest of the low so that he can take us from the lowest of the low to kingly. We will reign with him one day. That's his plan. That's been his plan from the beginning of time, not through something that you can do yourself, but through what Jesus has already done for you. Jesus is our perfect example. And I think if Paul was here, he'd say, look for somebody like Jesus. Look for somebody like Jesus in this church. Look for somebody like Jesus amongst your Christian friends. Look for somebody like Jesus. You know what? there are people that don't believe in Jesus, but they still have really good godly value. And you can look at that and go, I want to be more like that because that looks like Jesus to me. But here are the things that you're looking for. You're looking for a life of prayer. You're looking for a love of Scripture. You're looking for somebody who can relate well to other people, who can serve, who has a servant heart, somebody who has a strong faith. Sometimes it's hard to see that that's who Jesus is, but you see it in somebody else and you go, I bet that's what Jesus must be like. I think Paul would say, imitate that. That's what you're looking to be like. Not because it will impress other people, but because it looks more like Jesus. That's what discipleship is. It's realizing our true value in who Jesus has made us to be. Jesus is our heavenly King. He was humbled to death on earth, and our value is right in there. That's where he wants to take us from. That's where he wants to get us to. But until we recognize ourselves like Paul did, as the scum, as the lowest of the low, there's no way we can see ourselves one day reigning with him in glory. See, that's where Jesus wants to get us from and to. He's not interested in status quo. He's not interested in what you can achieve. He's only interested in what you believe and what you do about that. He gave us the gospel message. It is simple. I've said this before. It's so simple, we don't need words. We've got a picture. What Jesus did on that cross is enough for eternity. Anything else is never going to be enough. Live in the freedom of knowing it is not about you. It is all about him.